sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we for us to take everything to the Lord in prayer. To come before His presence and just ask Him to supply the things that we stand in need of and making our request known to the Lord. When we come to the Lord, we don't come just for ourselves. We come also for others of God's children. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Isn't it a wonderful thing to be able to say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. And Lord, forgive others that have sinned against us. Sometimes we don't remember that part so much. We say, Lord, forgive me for what I've done, but we don't remember to, Lord, let us be forgiving for those who trespass against us. Let us remember to do that. And who gives us the ability to do that? You know, that's not by nature you can do that. We can't serve the Lord tonight by our own strength, our own ability, in and of ourselves. We need the Lord to be able to serve the Lord. We need the Lord to be able to pray. We need the Lord to in every area of our lives. And I surely feel that need as I stand before you tonight. Please pray for me. The Lord would just bless this service to His honor, to His praise, and to His glory. And that all that is said would be of comfort to you, His dear little children, would build you up, strengthen you, and edify you, and help you. As you live here in this old world that really is not a friend to a little child of grace. But the Lord is that friend that sticks closer than a brother. And as we look to Him, we'll find just what we need. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like to read to you from Hebrews chapter 12. And I've been around this verse in the last several efforts that I've made to speak. And have used it in part of what I've tried to say. But tonight it just seems to be what, if I have anything, that which is most upon my mind. I was sharing with Brother Mike beforehand that sometimes on my way to church I have a subject that's pressing so hard upon my mind I just can't hardly wait to get here to be able to share it with the Lord's people. And then there are other times that I just feel so scattered in my thoughts. I wonder what in the world will I be able to say to these my little children that know so much. What would I be able to say to be of any benefit then to them? Tonight's been kind of like one of those times. And I've just been praying that God would just settle my mind. Mike's prayer helped me a lot. I knew he'd be praying for me. He offers sweet prayers and things that he says like, you know, just help Brother Gary trust in you. Help Brother Gary not worry. Help me, Lord, just to lean on Him all together when it comes time to preach. I mean, what a God we have to trust in tonight. He's not a little God. He's a powerful God. He's an awesome God. He's a God, no matter if I'm blessed to preach and like I've never preached before, and I would never begin to touch even a glimpse of the greatness of the glory and the majesty and the awesomeness of this great God who has made us, made this day in which we live, and has given us this little place together tonight to just gather for a little while to worship Him. I don't know of any place I'd rather be tonight. I know there's a lot of other places to be. But I don't know of any, and there are a lot of good places we could be, but I don't know of any better than with just a portion of the Lord's people who bet to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I'm thankful that you're here, every one of you. I'm thankful that I believe the Lord has led you this way. And I believe the Lord is with us tonight. And I believe the Lord will give us just what we need. If it was just to sing together for a little while, what a friend we have in Jesus. And if that'll remind you to pray a little more this week and lean on Him a little more and be of some benefit to you, then our time together has been certainly worthwhile. And it's the truth. It's the truth. Amen, sister. Here in Hebrews chapter 12, he says, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed, that is surrounded about, with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Tonight, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. And the reason he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God is because at Calvary, where he died and he bled and he paid the price, he finished the work the Father gave him to do, that one day we'll be gathered around that throne as well with him. He didn't do it so that we might have a possible way there. He did it so that we would have a sure way there. And that way is none other than the way, the truth, the life, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. So here the apostle is telling us there are some things that you and I can have to know in our lives that will help us not be weary and faint. Sometimes you get weary and faint. Sometimes I'm very weary and faint. Sometimes I get really down, get very depressed. Isn't it good to know that the Bible gives us some things to know that will help you when you're weary and faint? And he's left that here and some things for us to consider. And I pray the Lord will bless us to do that. He goes on in verse 4 and says, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son. And that's how the Lord speaks to his children. He says, my son, my daughter. He says to us, he says, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they fairly, for after a few days, chasten us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the moment, for the present, seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. So the message tonight is for our healing, and it's for our health, it's for our building up. It's not for our tearing down, it's to help us as we, as God's little children, live in this world, to live in a way that'll bring us better joy and peace and rest, but more importantly, that our lives might honor and glorify Him. We sang that hymn tonight. I believe we believe it. Take my life and let it be. Take my hands and let them move. Take my feet, let them move. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mind. May the Lord help us tonight to remember that the purpose that we exist, the purpose that we're here on earth, is that we might bring glory and honor to the God who created us and made us. Jesus said, I came that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And so not only did he come that you and I might live spiritually, but that the life that we might live would be to the glory and to the honor and the praise of God, that we wouldn't be walking around with our head hanging down, as he says here, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Tonight, we all need that healing. And we mentioned a lot about those who need physical healing tonight. The Lord's the author of that as well. He's the one who gives us that. He's the one who heals all our diseases. He's the one we look to for those things. He doesn't do that according to our will, according to our methods and what we want. And what we don't demand God or command God or speak to the Lord in such a way that we tell him what's best for us and what we need. But we can come to the Lord and say, Lord, if it is thy will be done, and ask him to bless us. And if it is according to his will, if it is pleasing in his sight, he will supply unto us everything that you and I stand in need of, not when we want it, but when it's best for us. Isn't it good tonight to know that we have a God who knows what's better for us than we do?
Yes, sir.
Sometimes I think this is what I need, and it's the last thing I need. Sometimes this is what I think I want. And we have a God that's so good that when one of his little children comes and asks him for something they want that they really don't need, God simply says no. You know, no is just as good an answer to a prayer as yes when it comes from the God of heaven, because when he says no, that means no is best for you. No is according to my will. No is according to my good pleasure. And my good pleasure and my will is always in your best interest. What God does in our lives always, every time, works together for our good. What God does. There are things that we do that don't necessarily do that. But what God does, every time, it'll work together for the good of the Lord's people. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Isn't it good to know that that's who we serve tonight? The God who has given unto us all things. That means he has already given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And we can look to him. We believe this tonight. And he says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. In the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, I've mentioned it before this weekend. Brother Terry, you hang in there. And I know you've heard this. I don't want this to be a rerun for you, but it's on my mind tonight. And it was hopefully the truth the first time I say it, so I hope it'll still be the truth when I say it again. I believe that it will, and I believe you'll amen it again. Seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, there's a list of those of God's little children who trusted in the Lord, and the Lord held every one of them in the palm of his hand and took care of them every step of the way. And you know, the whole Bible tells us about those little characters of faith that believe and trust and depend upon the Lord, who've been given faith as a gift of God, and he's the author of that faith. He's the finisher of that faith. And that word author means the beginner, which means if you have faith tonight to believe in God, and I surely believe you must, because you sure sang like you had faith. You sure showed an appearance in an outward way. I can't see your faith per se, but I can see the evidence of your faith. I can see that you desire to follow him and listen to him and feed upon him, and you're here tonight to learn from his word and to better teach it. And if you have that faith, you know how you got it. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Faith is the evidence, the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. And it's by faith that Enoch walked with God. It's by faith that Noah was warned of God and was able to do what he did as he followed God in building the ark. And the eight souls got on that ark and were delivered on the other side. God's had moved in the heart of Noah and given him faith. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph. You can read throughout the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and it'll take you through a history lesson in the Old Testament of where God's little children were trusting in the Lord. And in every circumstance, when they trusted in the Lord took care of them. He didn't let them down. He delivered the children of Israel right through the Red Sea. When they got to, they finally got to where they'd been rebellious and disobeying God and had been wandering in the desert for so long and in the wilderness because of their rebellion after that God's chastisement that was upon them because of their disobedience. And when they got to that place, he brought them over to the promised land, and there were those that were not able to enter that promised land because of disobedience, but there were those he promised that land to that entered into that land. Now that's not about having an immortal glory. Now, that's about enjoying the Lord's fellowship while you live here in this world. We believe that there's a God who loved every one of his people without the loss of one. They'll be with him in heaven in immortal glory. That is everyone that he loved in covenant before the very foundation of the world. He chose them. He sent his son to die for them. The son paid the sin debt for them. And not one of them will miss that eternal home because Jesus is seated on the right hand of the Father right now in heaven, securing that place for us that when we die, he said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And that place he went to prepare was not going home to heaven to make a what place up in heaven. He went to the cross. And there at Calvary, my sins which separated me from God, and your sins that separated you and separated us from God, we believe with all of our hearts were taken off of us and placed upon him. And there at Calvary, the punishment, the wrath of God, the wage of sin, which is death, the guilt, the judgment that would fall upon us, fell upon him, and he paid that price in full, and that's why he was able, that's why he hung there, that's why he suffered there. That's why the earth turned dark for about a span of 3 hours where there was no light to shine because the Lord of glory poured his wrath out upon his only begotten Son, and Jesus there took our sins in his own body and paid the sin debt that would have been ours in an eternity of woe. And I tell you, when he did that, he finished that work and he paid that price and he paid it in full. And you'll never be required to pay that again. You know, some people are just scared to death about the hour that they're going to die because they feel like they're going to have to stand before the Lord and give an answer for all the things that they've done wrong in this life. I'm telling you, what would we say if we had to stand before the Lord? What could we say? What could be said? The answer to that is not one thing. I'm saying to you, when we stand before the Lord, we won't stand alone. We won't be by ourselves. We'll have an advocate with the Father. We'll have a mediator. We'll have the best lawyer you could possibly have. And that is the one who not only is the prophet, but he's the prophet. Not only a priest, but he's the priest. Not only a king, but he's the king. He's our Lord and Savior. And he'll say, Father, behold I and the children which thou hast given me. In other words, these belong to me, Lord. Now I have not lost one of them. He came down from heaven not to do his own will, but the will of the Father which sent him. And this is the Father's will which sent him, that all that he had given him, he would lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. That's what we believe tonight. That salvation is of the Lord, and it's finished in the finished work of the Lord. He says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses tonight, I believe you believe these things. I believe the Lord's given you faith to embrace these things. I believe you hear them and you say, that's the truth. It rings clear in your heart. You know why it rings clear in your heart? Because the Lord put that truth in your heart. And it's not just because I said it that it got in there. As a matter of fact, if the Lord hadn't put it in there first, when I said it, it will only make you mad. You wouldn't have it. You wouldn't hear it. You because of what the Lord has done in your heart already, what rings from the Word of God in the preaching of the gospel rings true in your heart because He wrote those laws and in your hearts and in your minds. And you know this is the truth because He put that faith in you. That's a big God to do that, isn't it? But He is a big God. He can do that in the heart of a little baby. He can do that in a little 1-year-old, 5-year-old, 10-year-old, 20-year-old, whatever year old you might be. Even to a thief, as I read last night in the scripture, how it must have been to be that thief that was hanging on the cross. Brother Junior asked the question, was he the thief on the right or was he the thief on the left? So I went searching to find out whether he was on the right or on the left. I can't come to any conclusion about whether he's on the right or on the left. If y'all get that, you let me know. Some say that he's on the right because all of his sheep are on his right. And I do know he was a sheep. The one was. There were two there on the cross. And it says in one place, they both cried out. And as the people were mocking Jesus, and they were making fun of him and said, if you be the Messiah, if you be the Son of God, then save yourself and save us. And they turned in their own, and both of them mocked him and ridiculed him for a period of time. But then something happens. Even on the cross, something happens. I believe that's a powerful working of the Holy Spirit because the one speaks and says, oh, this man has done nothing amiss. We're only getting that which we deserve. He says, don't you fear God? As he looks to the one who's mocking the Lord, he says, don't you fear God? He says, we have done that which is, we're getting what we deserve. But this man hadn't done anything. We just read that verse. You consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Sometimes we think, what did I do to deserve this? I don't think we really want the answer to that question, do you? When you really think about that, sometimes something will go wrong in your life, and the first thing we say is, if we don't say it, we might think it, well, what did I do to deserve this? Listen, you don't want the answer to that question. You know what the Bible says about all of us? We all have what? Sin. And come short of the glory of God. What the Bible says about us is that all of us are deserving of the wages of sin, which is death. And that death is an eternal separation from God forever and ever in a place of torment. That which Jesus suffered on the cross would have been ours forever in eternity if he had not done that for us, if he had not paid that price. And what do we deserve? That's what we deserve. But what did we receive? We received God's blessings. How could that be? Because there was a Savior who endured such a contradiction of sinners against himself that he suffered it to be so. You know how many men could have hurt Jesus had he not given his life? Not one. You know how many men could have taken him and nailed nails in his hands or in his feet if he had not let them do it? Not one. You know how many people could have said and judged him or brought judgment against him? Pilate thought he had the power. But I'm telling you, Pilate was he was only suffered to be in the place that he was for the purpose that he was. And the Lord brought that all about in order that Jesus might die and would pay the sin debt that necessarily had to be paid. Jesus' face was set like a flint from the day that he was born to get to the cross. That's why he came here into this world. And there at Calvary, he loved, I believe, Gary Utes enough. And I believe he loved you enough. I see evidence in it. Isn't that good? And he loved every one of his children enough, and he loved that thief that even cursed at him as they were dying enough that he said, oh Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, sorry, buddy, it's too late. We can't get you baptized. Sorry, buddy, it's too late. You can't get into the church right now. You're on the cross. Sorry, buddy, it's too late. You've done too much wrong. You can't get it undone. Listen, if anybody was in a place he couldn't have been helped, that man was in the place he couldn't have been helped. Here's the good news. The help doesn't come from us. If it had to come from me, you'd be in trouble tonight. If my help had to come from you, I'd be in trouble tonight. If we were there just depending upon ourselves, tonight we're not dependent on ourselves. Our faith is not in ourselves. Our faith is in the God of heaven who cannot fail. He's a faithful God. And he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You know where I believe the soul and the spirit of that old thief is right now? I'm telling you, it's in paradise, and he's no longer a thief. He's washed in the blood of the Lamb. He's one of God's little children. He's one of God's redeemed, and he's in heaven, and his home in heaven is just as sweet as anyone, as Abraham's, as Isaac, as Jacob's, because every one of them, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and everybody else that ever gets to heaven, don't get there any other way but one way, and that's through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So all of this stuff that you hear about, high places and low places in heaven, and first heavens and second heavens and third heavens and wherever that, I'm telling you, they don't get that. It's not in the Bible. They get it out. Somebody said, where did they get that from? They say, out of the Bible. It's out of the Bible because it's not in it. It's not there. I'm telling you, God's word tells us that our home in heaven is secured through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we believe, God. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about it with so great a cloud of witnesses. I've been hearing this preaching a long time. I think of the preachers I've heard it from. The different ones. Brother Mike reminded me of a preacher. He said, I remember that one preacher told you one time, just when you didn't know what to say, just go brag on Jesus. Brother Mintz was sitting right over there when he said that to me. I was coming into the stand and could just read my face and know I was a mess. You know, I ain't knew that because he'd been a mess many times before. And hear that dear little brother getting into the stand right now, so weak his body looked like he couldn't even hardly walk, and get in the stand and preach like he was 20 years younger than he was. Preaching power. Heard from Brother Don Blevins tonight about the meeting down there, and he was saying, dear Brother Eddie Lyle, his body has just been having a hard time. The doctors told him he wasn't supposed to preach and he shouldn't be speaking. And he got up and said, I'll just try to say a few words. He said, the next thing you know, Brother Eddie was preaching just like he did, maybe the best he'd ever heard. I want you to know there's a God who does that. And he's doing that now as well as he's done it in the past. He's with us tonight as well as he's been with our brethren in the past. And not only were the Old Testament saints surrounded with those of faith and believers, you and I have been given some believers. I've seen some of you go through some storms that I know you don't have the strength to handle. God was there. And he's been giving you what you needed all along. Even when sometimes your hands were hanging down and you're weak and you're feeble and you're kind of just crawling to the place where you could sit down. I'm thankful the Lord didn't cast us away. I'm glad he didn't say, Thomas, if you're going to be in unbelief, you can't stick around here anymore. Get out of here. No, Jesus came into the room where he was in the midst of his doubt and showed him his hands and his feet and showed him whatever he needed so that his child, Thomas, might believe. Do you believe God still does that for us when we get in doubt? I do. I know that he has. When the storms of life have gotten you so down and so low, you begin to wonder, is he really my God and does he really care? I want you to know he's bringing you through those storms and through those trials for a purpose and for a reason. And he's chastening you and he's correcting you and he's helping you and he's building you up and he's strengthening you so that you might be more like him and bring glory and honor and praise to him a little better. And if you can do that in this world, the only thing better than that kind of living is dying. Somebody said, that sounds strange. How could dying be better than anything? Let me say to you, a little child of God walking with the Lord, for to me to live, that's what the Apostle Paul said, remember? For to me to live is what? Is Christ. Is that good living? When you can feel the Lord and every day you walk and get up in the morning, you feel the Lord and you look at the sky and you see the you don't just see the sky, you see the sky that your God made. You don't just look up at the stars and see the stars. You see the work of His fingers. You don't just look at the trees and all that He's... You don't just look at the trees and say, well, it must be this time of year. The trees are starting to turn color. No, you say, my God's painting. He's painting like a little Sister Judy loves the song, God's Coloring Book. And you know, I'm telling you, don't miss God's coloring book. Don't miss when the Lord paints the sky at night for you. Don't miss when the Lord colors the trees and the leaves. Don't miss when the Lord does those little things along the way that we consider maybe just little things, just things that happen. I'm telling you, you see a rainbow, you think of it as the one the Lord put there for you because He had you in mind. Don't think He didn't. I said to you, if He loved us enough to send His Son, doesn't He love us enough to give us a flower along the way, or allow us to see a beautiful scene along the way, or to sit in a little meeting here tonight and see God's little children like little flowers sitting in the congregation with their heads up feeding on the showers of blessings that flow from the Word of God? He gives us that. And He gives it to us as we need it. And I needed it tonight. I need to feel His presence. He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. We need to lay aside some weight. I got a whole lot of me I need to let aside. I got to put it aside. The old hard-headedness. The old I want it this way. The old will. The desires of the flesh and of the mind. The old part of my old nature that I battle every day. That old sinful nature, that carnal man that separates me from my fellowship with the Lord and from the Lord's people. And I need to lay aside that weight. We don't lay aside that weight to become His children. We lay aside that weight because we are His children. If you're not already His child, you don't have the ability to lay aside that weight. Some people in the world say in order to get to heaven, you've got to lay aside all that weight. I'm telling you, if you're not a little child of God already, you don't have the ability or the want to or the will to lay aside that weight. But because He has made you His child, He's given you the ability, He's given you the will. We ought to be about our Father's business and doing what He would have us to do for His honor and His praise and His glory right now, tonight. He says, lay aside every weight. Notice He didn't say lay aside the ones you want to. Some things are easier to lay aside than other things. Some things are easy for us to give up. Some things don't hinder us very much. And sometimes we'll lay those aside saying, well, Lord, I got this and this and this, but I still want to hold on to that. I want to hold on to that. You know what He told the rich man? He says, you need to sell everything you've got. And take up your cross and follow me. A young rich ruler came to Him and said, Lord, I've done these things. He laid down a lot of things. He said, and I've tried to keep these, and I've done all this. He said, what else do I lack? He knew He lacked something. And what He lacked was there was something holding him back from truly serving the Lord as he should and as he ought. And it was something that he loved so much that he felt like he couldn't get rid of. I don't have his problem with the riches. But I've got my problems with my stuff. And there are some things that I need to lay aside. Now, how can I do that? Can I just will it in? Can I just say it? I've said it sometimes. I'll just do better. I'll just fix it. I'll just stop doing this. I'll just not do it. Lord, if You'll forgive me this time, I won't do it anymore. I'm telling you, that's a sure way to fail. What we're to do is say, Lord, help me. Lord, strengthen me. Lord, give me. Teach me. Lord, be with me. Draw me close to Thee, O Lord. And may I draw close to Thee to find that which I stand in need of, to be able to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Now, Colossians 3 will lay out a bunch of those things. And I'm not going to get into that tonight because I could be here a long time if we turn to that. But Colossians 3 says, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. And it says to mortify your members upon the earth. And if you'll read that list of things, there's all those kinds of things that that are our members, which means there are things that are in us, and it's the old lusts of the flesh and the things that, you know, the things that the Spirit already has told you, you need to fix that. Really, I really don't need to point them out unless the Lord blesses me to point them out in the preaching of the gospel. But when I point them out, you'll already know that he's talking to me. In other words, that I got that problem. And if you feel like, well, I've got all those solved, then you really have a problem. Because pride has got you then, and ignorance has got you. Either pride or ignorance or both have you. Because you don't realize that you are not just like other men are. The Pharisee said, I'm not like other men are. Lord, I even thank you that I'm not like other men are. And he was not justified, which means he had no peace in his heart. Tonight I need to recognize, Lord, if you don't help me with my pride, it will eat me up. Lord, if you don't help me love my brethren as I ought to, I won't love them. Lord, if you don't help me walk like I'm supposed to walk, I'm going to stumble and fall. Lord, if you don't help me with this problem or that problem, whatever that problem is that separates me, and I know what they are because he's taught me in my heart. God chastens us. Isn't it good to know he chastens us? He doesn't just let you run wild and go any way you want to. He doesn't just, somebody said, I just know what I want to do and that's what I'm going to do. Well, I'll tell you, as a little child of God, you'll be sorry you did it. You might do it, but you'll be sorry you did it. He might suffer you, allow you to do that. But you'll be sorry you did it. Because he chastens. You know who he chastens? You know what chastening means? It means he loves you enough to correct you. He doesn't chasten you to punish you. Punishment was already done on the cross for God's children. Did that. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Isaiah 53. Which means the punishment that we deserve was given to Jesus. And it will never be required of one of his children because he's already paid that. But when God's little children mess up, he'll either move in the power of the Holy Spirit in your heart to let you know you're messing up, or he'll send a preacher and his word, or you can read his word and it'll teach you that you're messing up, or maybe an affliction may come in your life where the Lord suffers that by his providence to come in your life, so that'll remind you that you are messing up. And we see that throughout the scripture. And that's not an evidence that he hates you. It's an evidence that he loves you. And that's why we should see, blessed is the man whom the Lord chasteneth. Psalm 94, been in it kind of on and off all week. Psalm 94, blessed is the man whom the Lord chasteneth. You know why they're blessed? Because if God's correcting you lovingly, you belong to him. And if you belong to him, you're going to be with him in heaven. And nothing's going to separate you from that. And he loves you enough to correct you. And he does it in a loving way. And he's doing it for your good, that you might walk closer to him. And notice he also has set the race before us that we're to run. We're not on our own in this life. We're walking the path that he would have us to walk. We're living the life that he's given us to live. And we're to live it to his honor and to his praise and to his glory. May the Lord help us to see that, so that when we get corrected, we'll be thankful, and that we'll be exercised by that correction, which draws us closer to him. I do want to read one verse. Don't get nervous. I'm just going to read the verse. In Jude. Might be a couple verses. Jude. It's chapter 1 because there's only chapter 1 in Jude. So he says in verse 17, he says, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. We're living in that. He says, these be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But as God's little children, here's the verses, verse 21, 21. He says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. May the Lord help us to build up one another, to help the weak hands and the feeble knees, to encourage those that are halt and falling along the way, to remember the truth and declare it, and look to the Lord who has all power to give us the strength that we need. He says, keep yourselves. He says, but beloved, verse 20, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Tonight if we prayed, it was in the Holy Ghost. I'm thankful to believe the Lord has given us the Holy Spirit as our comfort, who teaches us how to pray, what to pray for, and the Lord Jesus Christ sitting on the right hand of the Father makes intercession for us. He says, keep yourselves in the love of God. That's where we are tonight. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not justice, mercy. He says, unto what? Eternal life. Who God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. Isn't that good? May the Lord bless us to really lay hold on to it. And when we get chastened, listen to the chastisement and thank the Lord He corrected us. And then grow in grace and knowledge of the truth in a way that we bring honor to Him and get closer to Him. To His honor and His praise and His glory. Appreciate your kind attention tonight. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.
Reset.